Morning, everyone. I was away for the last 2 weeks or so, and it's always just so good being home, but also being home here with you. It's just it's so good seeing everyone every week. And as Tony says, we are in the series Prepare the Way. And as we had a dramatic entrance from Gabriel, we're going to be talking about about Mary and her journey a little bit today. So for those of you who want to turn to the story, we're going to be in Luke 1, starting in verse 26. But before we get there, I just want to set the scene a little bit. And I think the scene or the situation that Mary was in is not that dissimilar to the situation that we're in now, in that there was a very broken world. And from the beginning of time, we know that man sinned, and there was a separation between man and God. And for so many years, God had been speaking to the Israelites about there being a solution to this problem. And God had been preparing. There'd been all sorts going on behind the scenes. And I think Tony shared some of the amazing prophetic words about Jesus' arrival. And it was that the Israelites were waiting and waiting for this special day. And so around 730 years before Jesus arrives, we hear Isaiah speaking these words. He said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So that was 730 BC. So around 700 years before Jesus arrived, there was this promise that this virgin would conceive. Such an amazing thing, such an unusual thing, nothing that's never happened before. So now we move forward into this Advent season, 700 years after this event. And Act 1, Scene 1 was shared with us last week by Henry. And he was speaking about Zechariah and about Elizabeth and about the way that they'd been waiting for this baby, or they'd been longing for a baby. And suddenly the angel Gabriel said, "You know what? You're going to have a son and you're going to call him John." And he came on to become John the Baptist. So just this amazing season that started with Gabriel revealing himself to Elizabeth. And now we move on to Act 1, Scene 2 today. And this is suddenly where Mary comes onto the scene. And we see this amazing experience that she has with Angel Gabriel. So let's turn together to Luke 1. I'll put it on the screen as well, and we'll start going through this together. Okay, and I'm really hopeful that as we read together today and as we experience a little bit of what Mary went through, that let's understand a little bit about her journey, but I think there's a lot that we can take about her response to Jesus as well as we go through this together. Okay, so let's start with verse 26. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her. 'For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will have no end.'" And what I just love to highlight is those words, favor. And really what Gabriel said is that you have found favor with God. And so just before I want to talk about what it means to be favored and maybe how we can be favored by God. But I first want to reflect a little bit about who Mary was and what was there that was special about Mary. So, and why this girl? Why did God select Mary to be the one that would bear a son? So if we think about her context, she lived in a small town, in a remote town called Nazareth. And how many people do you think there were in that town? Anyone? Rubes, how many people do you think there were in Nazareth in that day? 800. Not bad. There were about 200. So it was a small little place. Nothing amazing. And so nothing grand or significant about the place. which is interesting. And at a personal level, we don't know much about Mary. But what we do know is, as Pam says, she was around about 15. She was a virgin. So she was a young woman of marriageable age. So, Ella, around your age, hey? Maybe not marriageable in this society. But she was young. Oh, okay. So you'd be overdue in that culture, eh? Gigi, you're 15. So in that day and age, that would be the time. And we also found out that she was engaged to be married. And it was interesting finding out, just reading a little bit about what that meant in the day. And actually, until late in the Middle Ages, marriage consisted of two ceremonies. Now, kind of, if you get engaged, you kind of might do it as a separate event. You might let the family know. But the big event is the marriage ceremony. In those days, first came the betrothal or the engagement, and later was the actual wedding day. And interestingly, at the betrothal, the woman was legally married. So it's quite different to today. Today, you kind of say, I'm going to do this thing. And a few months, even a few years later, you might actually get married. In those days, when you became engaged, you were legally married. The only difference, though, is that you stayed at your father's house until the wedding day. So, I mean, it was actually amazing that, so that was her context. She had committed herself to Joseph, and Joseph had committed himself to her. And so if we look at the context, there's nothing specifically amazing about Mary that I can see here. The town she lived in is small and insignificant. We don't know anything amazing about her, except that she was favored by God. And so I'd just like you to just spend a little bit of time around your tables answering this question. Why do you think it was, or what do you think it was about Mary that caused her to find favor with God? Okay, so this is your little, I want to just to spend a minute or two just thinking about that. What is it about Mary that caused her to find favor with God? Okay, I hope you guys have got some amazing answers to share with me. So can I have one or two tables just to give an indication about why do you think? Why do you think Mary was favored? Anyone willing to be brave? Nathan? Great faith. Okay, she had great faith. Anyone else? Ella? Okay. Humble and pure. Okay. And all of those things, are the things that are inward or they're outward? They're all something about her and about her heart, aren't they? And interestingly, I was having a look to see how, or God's selection criteria for David. And this is what Samuel had to say. So this is what the Lord said to Samuel. He said, "The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that was when he was speaking about David. And I believe it's the same thing here. The Lord saw something special in Mary's heart. And he's looking for that same thing in our hearts today. If we want to find favor with God, it's not about the color of our skin. It's not about our wealth or the lack of wealth. It's not about what we do. It's actually just about our hearts and whether we are willing to submit our hearts to Jesus. And so I'd encourage you this Christmas, let's be like Mary. If we want to be favored by the Lord, it's really about our hearts and our heart's attitude to him. Okay, so the next thing I want to just dwell on as part of the story is God's amazing timing. And I want to look at God's timing, both in terms of how he intervened in Mary's life, but also just in the grand scheme of God's master plan as well. So let's first start off with God's personal plan for Mary. And so what we do know is that Mary was engaged to be married. And what I think is amazing is that she'd got to make a choice first, right? She'd got to choose the person that she was going to love for the rest of her life. And God intervened at that time. So it didn't mess up her plan of actually having someone to love for the rest of her life. And I think that was very gracious of God. And he intervened at that particular time. And I think what's also amazing about that is Joseph had chosen her. And it was in this little window between being engaged and getting married when the angel comes. It's this amazing timing. And so Joseph had also committed himself legally and with all his heart to Mary. So in a sense, this was the safest possible time, in a sense, that God could intervene for Mary. There was someone that loved her. She was ready to get married. She was ready to have a child even. And Jesus steps in and intervenes. And so I just think that's just amazing, God's timing there. And in our own lives as well, I was just reflecting on the way God intervenes in our lives and the timing he has for us. And these two verses, I think, are relevant. So if we read from Psalm 37:23, we hear that the Lord directs the steps of the godly and he delights in every detail of our lives. In the same way he delighted in knowing Mary's story, he delighted in every detail of Mary's life and chose the exact time to intervene. I believe God does the same with us as well. And Proverbs 20:24 said, the Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? This is something that I often challenge with. I want to understand everything. And sometimes we don't. We don't understand sometimes when things aren't going right or we're thinking, why this, why that? But we can understand and trust that the Lord directs our steps. So that's just an encouragement for you as well. All right, and then just in terms of God's master plan, which was obvious, there were two plans going on, right? There was this plan with Mary, and then there was this big master plan. And I was very interested to hear, well, actually, I was reading in Matthew from 1:17, it says this. There were 14 generations from Abraham to David, and 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. So, I mean, it's just amazing God's timing. Just looking back, there were these prophetic words, but also just God's timing through the ages is also just quite remarkable. And just reading up about this this number 14 in the Bible, it's used 24 times, and it represents deliverance or salvation. Isn't that amazing? So this number 14, it crops up at times when God brings this amazing deliverance. And obviously we know that Jesus is the one that delivers us from our sin and brings salvation. So I think that's just so cool. And another 14 that pops up is Passover, right? That was the 14th day of the first month was known as Passover. And that was when God delivered the firstborn of Israel from death. Another salvation story. And on the same day, or on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, at 30 AD, we know that Jesus died for us, and we were saved by him. So just amazing that God's timing through the ages from century to century, and even within a month, the 14th day of the month. Just amazing how God's timing is perfect. All right, so let's go back to the main scripture of today from Luke 1, and let's see how this story unfolds. All right, so on to verse 34. Mary asked the angel, but how can this be? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. And I think just what really struck me in reading this is that Mary's remarkable story goes from impossible to reality through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think for us today, we can also think about, you know, how are we born again? It's through an amazing work of the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, we could ask, well, how can we have new life? How can we even live out God's purposes and God's plans? How can we be transformed from people that are sinful and doing our own thing to people that choose to follow God? And again, it's by God's Spirit. And so just an encouragement from Mary's journey. The Holy Spirit births something in her, and equally the Holy Spirit births something in us and is going to continue to see that through until Jesus is fully formed in us. That's quite a cool parallel that Jesus wants to be formed fully in us as well. Okay, and then I want to go on to Mary's response. And This is Mary's response to this announcement of how it's going to happen. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. And it's just quite remarkable, this response of hers. It's a humble response. I think someone said earlier, what is this characteristic of Mary that was so amazing? It was this humility and her humble response to Gabriel. And it really shows a reverence towards God, doesn't it? She's saying, "I am yours. Let your will be done in my life." And I think God's looking for the same response from us today and every day, isn't he? The response is, "I am yours, God. I'm not my own. And let your will be done." And I think this Christmas time, wherever you're at, God would be asking the same. Are you willing to say to me, "Let your will be done in my life. I am yours. I am yours." And I think just when I was thinking about the context that Mary was in, yes, God had intervened at a perfect time, but she must have also felt quite a lot of dread, actually. Because as a young girl, Gigi, your age, I mean, the risk was that Joseph could have disowned her. He could have just said no ways. He could have divorced her. And it would have been a scandal. With 200 people, I'm sure everyone knew each other's business as well. She would have been darn scared, I'm sure. And the risk is that she could have even been stoned in that day for becoming pregnant out of wedlock. So for her to respond in this way, when it was such a big thing God was asking, really just shows that she was humble and submissive to the Lord. And that's just such an amazing characteristic about her. And I think in the same way Mary would have counted the cost, we're also called to count the cost. It's not the same. And I think Ella prayed earlier just saying, you know, in South Africa, we don't have this situation where standing up for Jesus is a massive thing and that we're not going to get a lot of people calling us out or, you know, we're not going to be thrown in jail or persecuted in any way like that. But it does have an impact on our friendships. You know, it's who we choose to hang out with. It's what we decide to do has an influence about how people respond to us. And so there is a cost to count. The fact that you're here on Sunday, there's a cost. What you decide to do during the week, there's a cost that we need to count as well. So I just encourage you during this Christmas time as well, just to ask you, are you counting the cost? And are you during this season also choosing, I'm going to follow Jesus, even though there's a cost to pay? Even though maybe I'm not going to be doing all these things that, you know, going to the dam on Sunday, whatever it is, are you choosing first to count the cost and follow Jesus like Mary did as well? All right, we're getting on with the story, and I think an amazing part of this story is the way that the angel confirms or promises to confirm this promise to Mary. And I think that was just such a special thing. So let's read through what Gabriel says. Sorry, not what Gabriel says. This is now a few days later, and he's told Mary that her aunt is going to conceive a baby as well, or has conceived a baby. So a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." And what I just love about this is actually, this is just so real and relatable. I mean, if you think about this young girl, she's told that her aunt is about to have a baby. And like, she hurries. She hurries. She doesn't wait a bit. She's desperate to see and to have confirmed this word. And so she runs and finds Elizabeth. She sees that she is pregnant. And I just think just God has been so good, actually. I mean, imagine if this part of the story wasn't there. And Mary's now waiting and waiting. You know, is this going to all happen or isn't it? But I think the fact that God confirmed this for her would have just given her such courage. It would have given her so, would have strengthened her faith. And I think that's just amazing. And I think what's also just so lovely is to see how the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and gives her this word of knowledge. That's something that wasn't normal in those days. I mean, I think, I don't know if there's another situation in the Old Testament where a woman prophesies like this. It's quite unique. But that word that she speaks over Mary then really just encourages her so much. And so just in terms of our church today, I think we all know that our hope, or certainly as leadership, our hope is that everyone here will grow in the gifts that God gives you. And some of those gifts are gifts of knowledge, they're gifts of prophecy. And we see here how a prophetic gift just really just encourages Mary so much. And I just want to encourage all of you to ask for those gifts, to seek those gifts from the Lord. And the reason he asks is that through that we can encourage one another. So maybe one of you here has got one of those gifts. You know God's given it to you, but you've never said anything in this church. Maybe you've had a gift of knowledge and you've been too scared to share it. And church, I would encourage you that these words that God gives, these gifts that he gives, are gifts for our church. And they're there to encourage us. So as you reflect over this Christmas and New Year's period, won't you also consider being brave this next year? If you've never asked God for a gift of prophecy or knowledge, won't you ask him? Won't you ask him? And we'd love to see those gifts operating here in this church to encourage one another. We all need encouragement. And if there's a special time, you might find that God gives you a word for someone like Mary, who's desperate to have something confirmed in her life. And I know for me, I've shared the story before, but when I started my business, I felt God say something to me. And there was a word, a scripture that I read, and I was like, geez, God, is this you speaking to me? But I wasn't sure. And then someone that next week came and said, this is a scripture for you, and it was exactly that scripture. And I tell you, that has been such a rock in my life. So a little thing, just one scripture shared at the right time, led by the Spirit, can be an anchor for a person for a decade or for a lifetime. So I really would encourage you, church, to press into that space. Okay, we are just about to wrap things up. All right, so Tony, 2 weeks ago, laid out a number of challenges. I know Henry reminded you guys last week, but one of them was, are you grateful this Christmas? Are you grateful? Are you grateful for what the Lord has done? And even are you grateful for Jesus, who you bought at this time of year and who's done something special in your life? And I think just reading these last few scriptures, which you're going to do now, we can see just how grateful Mary was. And it was just Mary's spirit, we can see in these verses, Mary's spirit soars, and she just acknowledges the miracle that God has started in her life. So let's read that together. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." So just as we end, we're going to end with a song. And I want you to each consider what you can give this Christmas. I think so often what Christmas is about remembering what Jesus has given to us. But I think at the same time, we see Mary really giving all of herself to Jesus. And that's what he would want from us, that we would be willing to give ourselves again to Jesus. So let's. I think we're going to play a song together. And I think if we could just be quiet and listen to the song and just reflect, are we willing to give ourselves afresh to Jesus this Christmas time? Yeah, Jesus, we just see in Mary that there was this amazing miracle. And through that miracle, you were formed in Mary to be this baby that was born to us. And Lord, in the same way that, in a sense, that you were conceived in Mary, we thank you that as we've accepted Jesus, that by your Spirit, we have Jesus in us. And Lord Jesus, your purpose throughout our lives is to see Jesus go from having a little bit of influence in our life, taking up maybe a small part of our lives, to being what we live for. And Lord Jesus, so we just want to see you being formed in us. Jesus, we want to see you being formed in our church. So at this Christmas time, and for all that are gathered here today, Lord Jesus, I just pray that by your Spirit, that you would stir us. What does it mean this week? What does it mean in Christmas time for me to be formed by you, to be more like Jesus? And Jesus, I just pray over everyone here that during this coming year, that we would be a people that are changed to be more and more like Jesus. So we commit ourselves to you, and we thank you for this lovely story of a young girl who chose to follow you, and she gave herself to you, she humbled herself to you, and through that, Lord, you changed the world. Amen.